odds are you're following some sort of training plan. Hopefully you are, at least. I learned the lesson back in the day of going willy-nilly with my training and not having a structure, not having a plan. Episode 628 of Diz Runs Radio is a quick tip episode. Today's quick tip, how to create a good race day plan. Hey guys, today's episode of the show is brought to you by my good friends over at DKMS, the international nonprofit that is leading the charge in fighting the fight against blood cancer and various other blood disorders. Pretty much all of us have had our lives touched in one way or another by cancer. And as I've said before, I don't know about you, but blood cancer is one of those cancers that I have never really heard much about until I started working with DKMS, and I'm honored to still be partnering with them and still helping them fight the fight in whatever way I can. And that's quite honestly by helping you or encouraging you to get involved. And there are a myriad of ways that you can do that. You can run a race as a charity runner, whether it's a race that they're partnering with or just any race that you're running. You can be part of the team and raise some money to go towards fighting that fight. Or what they really would love to see happen, and what is really easy for all of us to do, is to put our hats in the ring, throw ourselves into the pool of potential donors. Because what can ultimately happen, or what in a lot of cases, what the ultimate best case scenario is, that when somebody has blood cancer, they find somebody who's a genetic match for them that would be willing to donate some bone marrow, which then is a huge part of the healing process, the recovery process, the process of beating that cancer. And as you know, when it comes to genetics, it's a needle in a haystack type of thing. But the more people that are in the pool, the more likely that those that are dealing with blood cancer will find that perfect match and potentially have their life saved because of it. So if you're willing to join me in the pool of potential lifesavers, DKMS would love to have you. And the best way to do that is to head over to dkms.org, and right there on the page it says, you click the button how to request your free swab kit, I believe is what it says. So you request this kit, they send it to you in the mail, you swab the inside of your cheeks, you put it back in the pre-postage paid envelope, send it on back, they put your information, your genetic markers into the database and run it against every person that has blood cancer that they're working with. If there's a genetic match, they put you all together and set up the whole process, make it real easy for you, and hopefully, you're back to training in not too long, and that person that has blood cancer is on the road to recovery, on the road to healing and being cancer-free. Like I said, potential to save a life. So head over to dkms.org, get yourself in the ring, and join me there. And if you want some more information, you can also text the word AMAZING, that's AMAZING, to 50555. Get all your questions answered, and you can also get your swab kit from there as well. So today, talking about race plans. As this episode comes out towards the end of September in the year 2018, there's a lot of fall races on the horizon. Chicago's not much more than a week away. Marine Corps is coming up, New York, Philly. There's a whole host of other races. Of course, I'm going to be at the Prairie Fire Marathon this year. I'm going to also be at Seven Bridges Marathon, two back-to-back weekends in October. And there's a whole mess of other races, Twin Cities, and I know there's a bunch of races out west. St. George is one that comes to mind. But regardless of the time of year, there's races, in the U.S. and around the world every single weekend. And no matter when your race might be, if you've got a race coming up, odds are you're following some sort of training plan. Hopefully you are, at least. I learned the lesson back in the day of going willy-nilly with my training and not having a structure, not having a plan, and that doesn't usually work well, or that, at least for me, didn't work too well on race day, which is a big part of the reason why I wrote the book, Be Ready on Race Day, to help you create that training plan for yourself, and also why I coach now, to help others not make maybe that same mistake that I made and help them be as prepared as possible for their race. So, I say all that to say this, you probably have a plan that you're following to help you prepare for your race, right? How far do I run? Do I cut back this week? What workouts do I do? All that kind of stuff. You have that in a plan. And then when you get to race day, do you have a plan for race day? Do you have a plan for how to execute the race? You've had a plan, hopefully followed it. Hopefully things have gone well leading up to the race. But without a plan on how to actually run your race, how to successfully run your race, how to reach your goals, it's kind of akin to preparing for a race without having a plan. It's you know, having a race plan kind of helps you know what you're going to do on race day. And I don't think as many runners recognize that or recognize the importance of having a good race plan. But it's certainly something that I talk about in the book. It's certainly something that I talk about with my athletes as well. Kind of, what are we going to do? How are we going to attack this race? Because, you know, having a plan doesn't guarantee you're going to be successful, but boy, it sure gives you an idea of what to do, how to do it, when to make your move, what kind of pace to run, things like that. And I think that a lot of folks, or at least some folks, look at a race plan as really being just that last thing I mentioned, what pace to run. You know, they look at the goal that they have for their time. They look at the distance for the race. They go to one of the little online calculators and go, all right, I want to run I want to break 2 hours in the half marathon for the first time. So what do I need to do? You type in the information. It says you need to run 9:06 pace. Well, that's my plan now. I'm going to run 9:06 pace. And I wish I could tell you that a good race plan, coming up with a good plan, was that easy, but it's not. It's not. You know, I talk about in the book, and I sorry to keep referencing the book, but this is basically a chapter in the book that I'm giving you right here, or at least a big portion of it. But you know, I talk about it being as much of art as it is science. Having a good training plan and a good race plan, both of them, they're a blend of art and science. And you know, when it comes to your race day plan, knowing what pace you need to run, knowing that your average pace for a sub 2 hour half marathon needs to be 9:06. That's the science. That's the easy part of the plan, quite frankly. You know, that's what it takes. If you average 9:06, you are going to come in at 1:59 and change. Boom, good to go. The problem is that there's some other factors at play. You need to blend the art in there, and there's not as many rules for art. You know, when you think of art, I don't know about you, but sometimes I'll look at some art and be like, God, what is that? Like, I don't even understand what is that? But it's art. It's art. So we look at art sometimes and think that, you know, art can be anything, but there's definitely some guidelines. There's definitely some rules of thumb. I remember taking a history of jazz class back in college, and can't remember what the style was called, maybe free jazz or something like that, where everybody was just playing willy-nilly. And it sounded terrible. It was, you know, you had the drums doing one thing and the guitar doing something else and the horns doing something else. And it was not good. But then when you listen to good jazz or good musicians or good, you know, you look at some artists, you know, painters, drawers, things like that. And even in abstract art or cubism or things like that, there's some guidelines that they're following. You know, in jazz, there's guidelines they're following as far as tempo, as far as, you know, who's freestyling right now and who's sticking to the groove so that the freestyler can build upon a solid groove instead of everybody trying to freestyle at once. And it's the same with your plan. Yes, you have freedom. Yes, there is no right or wrong necessarily plan that you can create. However, there's some guidelines you should probably follow. There's some things that you should keep in mind in creating the art part of your plan and creating your art to make sure that it flows well, make sure that it sounds all right, to make sure that it makes sense visually, it makes sense in the moment to you. So all it needs to do is make sense to you, of course, but having some guidelines, having some rules, having some frameworks that you work within are going to help it to be cohesive and hopefully lead to you being successful on race day. So that's what we want to talk about today. How to put that race plan in place. And there's really three key components, three key guidelines, if you will, that I would encourage you to keep in mind when you're preparing your race plan. You know, when you're in that taper, you're not running as much, you're getting a couple of runs in just to keep yourself loose and try to stave off the taper craze as much as possible, but you're getting ready mentally. You're putting that plan in place. How do you do that? How do you create that race day plan? The first thing that I would encourage you to do is take a look back at your last several months of training, basically your whole training plan, this whole training cycle, and honestly assess how things went. Because odds are when you started training, you had a goal in mind. You had a goal that, hey, you know, I'm training for this half marathon. I'd really love to break 2 hours. So that helped you create your plan. Hopefully it helped you create your plan. It helped you know what kind of paces to run for some of your workouts, what your easy pace, your hard pace, all of those things. It kind of, you know, you worked towards this goal of 2 hour half marathon in your training. So now we need to look back at our training and honestly analyze it and say, how did we do? Did we stay on track? Did we hit most of our workouts? Now, it's probably not going to be perfect. It probably wasn't perfect. It very rarely does anybody have a perfect training cycle. But were you on it most of the time? Did you not miss too many workouts? Did you not have any big setbacks? Did you build that base and keep it strong and keep your easy runs easy and nail those hard workouts and hit your mileage targets for your long runs? Because if you didn't, then odds are you're not as fit as you need to be to hit that goal. So maybe you need to readjust your plan a little bit for race day based on how your training went. Maybe you look back at your training and go, God, I nailed it. I am on track. Everything seems right. Everything seems like it was hard enough in training, but I survived it. I really think I can do this 2-hour thing. So now you know to move ahead with that, still continuing to be the goal. Maybe in a perfect world, you really crushed it during training. And you go, all of a sudden you're like, God, I don't even think a 2-hour half marathon is even questionable at this point, unless I completely blow up. I think I could go for maybe a 1:55. I think I can set my sights a little bit higher because training went so well. I had so much gas left in the tank after each workout. I actually did harder workouts than were scheduled because I was feeling so good. So looking back at your training, looking back at the last 2 months, 3 months, 4 months of training, get a good idea of how, you know, get an honest perspective. Take the rose-colored glasses off and really look at it. Did things go well? Did things go better than well? Did things go less than well? And use that to really nail in, all right, what is the final goal? What is the actual goal going to be for this race? Because, it's, of course, if you're going to make a plan, it helps to know where you want to be. It helps to know what that final goal is and settle on it and then create your plan to help you get there. The next thing that I would encourage you to do is double check the layout of the course. Double check the course specifics. All right, we've all heard of races, or if you've been around and researching races long enough, we've all heard races that talk about being flat and fast. We've all heard races that talk about this is it's a downhill course. You might be using that to your advantage. You might be thinking, hell yeah, downhill, baby. It's going to help me get a little bit faster. It's going to make it a little bit easier for me to go under 2 hours. Well, just because a course is a net downhill doesn't mean that there's not anything, any little climbs that you have to be aware of. And maybe the best example of this is a little race that you might have heard about because it's a little race that I like to talk about, the Boston Marathon. Now, I didn't look at the exact numbers, but I have in the past. I don't remember them offhand. But Boston is a downhill race. Boston, from Hopkinton to Boston, you run downhill. Yet if you know anything about Boston, you also know that there's got those three little hills in the 17 to 20 mile range, with Heartbreak Hill being maybe the most famous of them, but there's a few other ones in there as well. And those hills are no joke. Those are climbs that you have to be ready for. You have to be prepared for. When you're planning the execution of your race, you need to be aware that you need to save a little bit in the beginning stages of the race because you're going to have these ass-kicker climbs that you got to be ready for. So just because a course, or just because a race promotes itself as flat, just because a race promotes itself as downhill, that may be true. But it doesn't mean that there's not a little something that you need to be prepared for. You know, I've run some races that are definitely flat, and there's like just a little, almost nothing hill at mile 24. But you go, God, why does this little nothing hill have to be at mile 24? Like, and I didn't know it was coming, and it was just it wasn't Heartbreak Hill, but it was a heartbreaker of going, why is this here? I thought this was flat. If I wasn't at mile 24, I would have considered it flat. But if I had done my homework beforehand, I might have known to, hey, just be ready that at mile 24, I'm going to have a 50-foot climb. It's not super steep, but boy, don't be surprised. Don't let your heart sink when you're ready for this stupid race to be over, and here comes this little climb you have to do. Be ready. So double-check the course layout because that's going to help you know how to prepare, how to adjust maybe the time goals. If you know that you know, in Pocatello, the first half of the race is dramatically downhill. So it might be a little tougher to come in with a plan of a negative split in that race, although I somehow managed to still do that. But it might be a little bit tougher because you might be able to be a little bit more aggressive on the downhill. Not ridiculous, but just a little bit more aggressive and play that to your advantage. And then the second half is mostly flat. But again, there's some downhills, there's some uphills. Even though the total elevation change is just a couple hundred feet for that last 13 miles, there's some serious downhills and some serious, you know, rollers, some climbs you have to do. So be to know what's going to happen in your race. You know, don't just go, oh, it's a you know, Pocatello. It's a you know, if you're running the full marathon, it's a 1,500 to 1,800 foot, you know, drop in elevation. It's a downhill course. It is, but there's some climbs, and you might want to know that when it comes to putting together your race day plan. Last but not least, talking about all this planning stuff and what you should do, a little bit of a disclaimer here. Last bit of advice to keep in mind, last guideline you might want to follow when it comes to putting the art onto your science and making a good race day plan. Avoid the tendency to overplan. Avoid the tendency of trying to have too much detail. All right. When I create a plan for myself, when I create a plan for my athletes, I usually like to stick to maybe three or four key moments in the race, key times, key plans, basically key steps to the plan to be successful. You don't want to have a plan for each mile. You don't want to have 13 steps of your plan for a half marathon to get under 2 hours. You want to have a couple. You want to have three, maybe four. All right. Have a plan for the start. At least this is my recommendation. Have a plan for the start of the race. Know what your pace is going to be for the first couple of miles. All right. If you're thinking about negative splitting, which is a pretty good strategy. It can be hard to execute, but it's a pretty good plan to try to put in place. Plan, step one of your plan, start the first couple miles a little bit slower than goal pace. All right, you need to be at 9:06 for your 2 hour half marathon. So maybe your plan for the first 5K is to average a 9:15 pace. Maybe run the first mile in 9:20, 9:25. Run the second mile at 9:15. And run the third mile between 9:05 and 9:10, which kind of puts you right at that sweet spot, a 9:15 average. And then you're settling in now. You get to that fourth mile, you're right at 9:05, 9:06. You're right on goal pace. So that's step one. What is your plan to begin the race? Or at least that's the one that I usually go with. You can make your own decisions on that, but that's my recommendation. What is the plan for the beginning of the race? Then when do you just settle in and put it on cruise control? So for me, in a half marathon at least, usually about the 5K mark. So settle into the race by 5K, and then at 5K, let's cruise, baby. Let's settle into goal pace, so 9:05, 9:06, something like that, and just cruise it on for a while. Listen to a podcast, listen to some music, whatever I need to do, talk to the people next to me. If I'm running it with friends, talk to them, but just cruise for a while. No, not over planning, not trying to dictate each mile, just let's cruise. And then know when you're ready to make your last move. And again, this requires knowing what your training looked like, knowing what the course looks like. You know, is there a hill? You're going to make your move after the hill. You're going to make your move before the hill. Does it start getting twisty and turny at some point? So you need to make sure you're clear of a bunch of race traffic. You know when you're going to make your move at the end, because we gave up a little bit of time at the beginning. That's okay. We're going to make it up at the end. That's how we're going to negative split. We're going to run that second half faster than the first half. So, you know, are you going to make the move at the 15K mark at 9.5 miles? Are you going to make it at 10 miles with 5K to go? Are you going to wait until the last 2 miles to make your move? What are you going to do? When are you going to make your move? That's my usually three steps for myself, three steps for my athletes, unless they really want more. And I try not to give them too much more, because the last thing you want to do is have too many thoughts rolling around in your brain on race day. Too many variables, too many things that you're trying to consider, trying to balance, trying to keep track of. It's hard enough sometimes to just keep track of running a steady pace and running the tangents and things like that. Then you start to add in, all right, well, I want to run this at a 9 flat, and this one at an 8:57, and this one at a 9:12 because it's a little bit higher elevation. No. Just keep those middle miles right around race pace, and then when are you going to make your move? When are you going to make your move? Know when you're going to make your move, and then stick to the plan. Stick to the plan as much as you can. Now, if you read the book, you know that I have a little chapter about adjusting the plan, changing the plan. Because like Iron Mike Tyson says, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face. And I believe that to be true. And I, you know, just like I said, that most training plans are going to have a little hiccup here and there. Most race plans aren't going to go as perfectly executed as possible. There's going to be a little punch to the mush. There's going to be a little something that's going to force you to deviate from the plan. So you might be thinking, well, Diz, then why would I even have a plan to begin with? Well, because it's a lot easier to get back on track when you know what the track actually looks like. It's a lot easier to get back to the plan after you have to stop and tie your shoes, or after you have to stop and use the restroom, or after you choke on the Gatorade because you're trying to drink it while you're running instead of just walking for 7 seconds while you drink your Gatorade. Or a runner, you trip over somebody else, or somebody trips over you and you stop to make sure they're okay. Whatever it is, there's something on race day that's probably going to derail you a little bit from your plan. All right? So anticipate that, which is another reason why it's good to only have a couple steps to your plan. Because if you have too many steps to your plan, now you got to reassess and readjust. You got a lot of things to readjust. If you only have a couple, 3 steps to your plan, when something happens, you only have to readjust 1 or 2 things. Makes it a lot easier. Again, less things to think about, more able to focus. So know that something's probably going to happen. If it doesn't, great. You can just follow the plan. You're good to go. But if it does, having that plan to begin with, yes, you're going to need to readjust it. Yes, you're going to have to, tweak it and you know, have the willingness to go off script for a little bit to bring it back on track. But because you've got a plan, you know what that track is. Like I said, you know what you need. You know what you're trying to get to, where you're trying to be, which makes it a little bit more easy to do that. So that's kind of 3 guidelines, 3 tips that I would give you to help you make a good race day plan. And like I said at the beginning, you know, having a plan doesn't guarantee you're going to be successful. And similarly, not having a plan for your race, how you're going to execute it, doesn't guarantee that you won't be successful. Okay? But having a plan just gives you that framework, gives you that guide, gives you that roadmap on how to get there. For me, start a little bit slow, settle into the pace, and then know when I'm going to pick it up and make my final move to the end. All right? That's my plan. It usually works well for me. It usually works well for my athletes. You're welcome to use that framework as well, but tweak it, customize it, adjust it based on how your training went, what the course looks like, and ultimately also it'll help you avoid overplanning. So those are 3 guidelines that I would give you to help make a good race day plan. If you haven't done so already and you've got a race coming up, give yourself a plan of attack. How are we going to attack this race so that you can be successful and nail your time goals? Because that's ultimately, I mean, you know, if we're running races and we've got ambitions of time goals, that's what we want to do is hit them. And having a plan in place is going to help you do that. So as we're wrapping up, I want to give one more shout out to DKMS. Once again, DKMS.org is the website. Get yourself a swab kit. Get yourself into the pool. Into the pool. You could potentially save a life. And if you've already done that and you want to do more, you want to continue to help out, check out DKMS for more information about running their races. You know, this year, maybe it's too late to jump into Marine Corps or New York City or some of the other events that they have. Maybe some of the events are already done and dusted and are in the past. But, you know, if you're planning out 2019, buzz over to DKMS.org and look around the website and see if maybe there's a race that you've been thinking about running. And hey, you know what? I'm gonna do it for a charity. And you know, maybe DKMS is that charity that you want to support. You can also contact them about running any race you want. So maybe it's not a race that DKMS is associated with, but there's a race that is in your neighborhood or that you're a destination race or something like that that you're planning on doing anyway. And you're like, yeah, you know what? I wouldn't mind helping fight the fight against blood cancer. Well, there you go. You can turn any race into a charity race, get some support from DKMS, raise some funds for DKMS. Everybody wins. And all of that information, once again, is at DKMS.org. And again, text the word AMAZING to 50555 for more information about becoming a donor or anything else associated with helping DKMS further their mission towards deleting blood cancer once and for all. So with that, thoughts, feedback, takeaway, always appreciated. DizRuns.com/628. Pretty good memes today. If I do say so myself, though, only one GIF. So kind of dropped the GIF ball, picked up the meme slack. Hopefully somewhere in the middle, it makes it equal. It balances out a little bit. And again, you can check all that stuff out at DizRuns.com/628. And until next time, thank you guys for listening. Appreciate it. Hope this was helpful. Hope you put it into practice for your next big race, whatever it is. Have a plan for that race. It's going to help you increase the chances of being successful. And that's the name of the game. So until next time, please be well. Take good care. Thanks for listening. And we'll talk soon, all right? See you.